It's been good to be with you today. We've been looking forward to it. Thank you for the invitation. I always consider it an honor when another pastor invites me into their pulpit to minister. We were here a couple years ago and had a good day together. And then he asked me to come back for this meeting. And I love missions conferences. I like the term missions revival because I think a missions emphasis and the taking it to heart is something that can revive every area of our Christian life. And we are going to preach to more areas than just specifically missions, although it all goes together. When you think about the Great Commission is here and abroad at the same time. And so there's the work in both places. And we'll be mentioning those things throughout the meeting. But again, thank you for the invitation. I'm going to take this off because this does mean something, okay? If it's in the morning service, it may not mean as much, but we got another service right after. And so there is a deadline in here, and I understand that, and that's fine. I just want to start by reading the Great Commission. I'm not going to preach specifically on it today, but we can't mention it too much in a missions conference. It's Matthew 28:19-20. If you want to turn to in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. That's where I'm going to read my text from today. But I just want to not just mention it, but say a few things about the Great Commission. Jesus here says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Of course, the Great Commission is taking the gospel here and around the world, and of course, doing those simultaneously. I want to just mention before I get into the lesson, I'll get to Philippians 4 here in just a moment. But the purpose of a missions conference, why do we have a missions conference? And I'm not going to list all the reasons why. I don't want to make this this morning's lesson, but obviously to emphasize the importance of missions. I believe that the Great Commission we just read is the marching orders of the New Testament church. Years ago, I don't hear that much about it today, but there was kind of a thing among a lot of preachers that I'm around, and guys were talking about, what is your church's purpose statement? What's the purpose statement? And if you have one, I'm not criticizing that. But, you know, when guys first started talking about that, I thought, man, I don't have a purpose statement. I've never made up a purpose statement. And it didn't take me a lot, but about a few minutes, and I thought, I do too. It's Matthew 28:19-20. It's the Great Commission. That's the purpose of our church. And a biblical church is a Great Commission church. If you're not a Great Commission church, if you're not a missions church, you're not a biblical church because we're told to be that. And so everything we're told to be, we need to be that, or we're not a scriptural biblical church like we ought to be. Now, the purpose of the conference is to emphasize the importance of missions, but also to refresh our vision and increase our burden for worldwide missions. We do that by the teaching and preaching of God's Word, through the month you're going to have missionaries in, and you'll receive their burden. You should be willing to attach to that burden and care about what they're doing and let God speak to your heart about those things, but to refresh that vision and increase our burden for worldwide missions, and then simply to be taught and challenged and stirred from the Word of God. And I'll just be honest with you, I'm going to talk about missions, I'm going to talk about giving, and I'm going to talk about many other areas of our Christian life during the missions conference. And so just kind of giving you a heads up here, they say, where precisely are you going? Just be here and you'll see from place to place. And I would really encourage you to be here for every service that you can be. Now, having said that, let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 18. Philippians chapter 4, I want to read these verses and then I want to teach some things about this. In verse 10, Paul writing here to the church at Philippi, he said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now that's quite a statement there. and yet it's one that as Christians we can relate to that. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And now let me just say this before I go any further. You know, we take that verse out of context and say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I'm not saying that doesn't apply, and that's not a good application. But what he's saying is, I am able for or up to all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, i.e., I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Yet, in other words, I know how to have life going my way and not my way. Everybody follow what I'm saying there? And he makes us able for what we face. And he makes us able not only to get through it, but to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then in verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to spend time on verse 19 other than to say this. He's saying, you have given according to the will of God and the needs of God's work, and by your giving, God is going to supply your needs. And there's a great truth to that. This passage of Scripture I've read, I would call it Paul's awkward thank you to the church at Philippi. His awkward thank you to the church at Philippi. He was thankful that they had given to him, but he qualifies this, and you'll see what I'm talking about here in a minute. But the title, if I was going to give the lesson a title today, the title is To Your Account. To Your Account. At the end of all of this month, there will be, I assume at that time, the receiving of Faith Promise Missions offering cards and encouraging people to participate. I assume that many, if not all of you, are already participating in that. You know what that's about and so forth. And I'll just say this before I get started. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. When you give to missions, as well as you give to your church here, as you serve the Lord, when you give, there's an account in heaven that is being added to. And that account's what determines your rewards when you get to heaven. So notice here, though, he talked about the generosity of the Philippians in verse 10 and 14 and 16. He said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, in verse 10, that your care of me hath flourished. And what he's saying there is, I rejoice that you gave me a big offering. That's what he's saying there. And but he wants to qualify it to show that he's not based on his greed. He said, notwithstanding, you have done well, even though God would take care of him and he knew that whatsoever state he's in, he knows to be content. But he said, you've done well in that you communicated with my affliction. In other words, you supplied my need when I was without supplies or running low on supplies. And that's what he said there. And notwithstanding, even though I can do all things through Christ, he used you to supply my need. You know, it's one thing for us to say, oh, we know those missionaries are out there. They're living by faith. God will take care of them. It's another thing for us to communicate with those needs. And what I mean by that is not just read letters and write letters, that we give to those needs. And he said, you've done well. And then he points this out in verse 15. He said, you were the only ones who helped me with offerings in the early part of my ministry. Now, what a thought there. When he said the beginning of the gospel, he's talking about the early part of his ministry. He said in verse 16, you sent an offering to me at Thessalonica more than once. You sent an offering and then you sent another offering. And who knows how many times they sent offerings to help with the ministry of the Apostle Paul there. Now, I want you to get this thought. The Philippians were faithful, generous supporters of the great missionary, the Apostle Paul. He's what I would call the prototype missionary that all other biblical missionaries have followed his example in many ways. The Philippians were faithful, generous supporters of the great missionary, the Apostle Paul. And my thought when I think about this, what a privilege. What an opportunity. Too late now for us to do that. But I'd like to think if the Apostle Paul were living today, Whittier Lane Baptist Church would be one of his supporters. And we would be very attentive to whatever his needs would be. Because it's not only an opportunity in the sense of being able to say, I supported the Apostle Paul, but what an investment in the cause of Christ, in the worldwide spread of the gospel. What an investment. And what I want to point out here today is we have the same privilege and opportunity as they had when we are supporting good missionaries. Because we are investing in the same kind of ministry that the Apostle Paul had, a Great Commission ministry. When we support missionaries, we're supporting men and ladies who win souls, and of course the ladies don't, but the men baptize converts, and they train workers, and they establish churches. And I want you to get this. I'll say it all at once so I don't mess up here. We're investing in people who win souls and baptize converts and train workers and establish churches that win souls and baptize converts and train workers and establish churches. And on and on and on. It just goes on and on and on. Praise God for that. Years ago when I was a young pastor, we had a veteran missionary who came home from the field, and he was going around visiting his churches. His wife had health problems that took him off the field. But he spent 25 years in Japan. And when he left there, there were 25 churches that he or churches that he started established in those 25 years. This one couple, this one man and his wife went there. And when we left there, there were 25 independent Baptist churches that would not have been there had they not gone. And you talk about an investment in a ministry. I've always thought, thank God we got to have a part in the ministry of Brother Bill Hathaway and Dixie, his wife. And I got to know him briefly at that time. But I knew him after that because when he came back, he came off the field and she had health problems over there, but he was able to function in the United States like he couldn't over there. And he pastored a church in Missouri for several years. And while he was pastoring the church in Missouri, they came on some financially difficult times, and the churches in Japan sent money to them to help with the work there. They were so grateful for the missionary that had come there, and they saw that the work of God is more than Japan, just like we ought to see that it's far more than the USA. And so that's missions. And I'm saying all this to get at his motive. In verses 17 and 18, Paul's motive for receiving their gifts and for commending their desire to send him support was not because he desired a gift, he said. It was not just so that he would be cared for, not just so that he would have plenty, because he had already said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. But he said, my reason for commending you for giving to support me is I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I want you to think about this throughout this month as you think about giving to missions. That when you're giving to missions, you're adding to your heavenly account. And that's what he's saying right there. He was telling them, when you gave to me and supplied so I could continue in the ministry, that has gone to your account. Those who supported Paul had a part in what he accomplished for the Lord. Their account was their treasures that they laid up in heaven. I know I'm being repetitious, but sometimes it takes that to, for us to be able to remember. And you say, I got it the first time. Good for you. These others needed it too. Okay, and so the fruit that they're, by the way, their heavenly account, and of course these have gone on a long time ago. These Christians have gone on a long time ago. But their heavenly account is the treasures that they laid up in heaven by the fruit that they bore personally in their Christian life. It's more than just giving money, amen? But their faithful service to the Lord and their investment in their local church and in the cause of Christ in whatever ways they could, laid up treasures in heaven, but also by the fruit that Paul bore in the ministry. You say, where are you getting this heavenly account thing? Well, he mentioned the account, but just so you know that it's biblical, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. What he's saying is, lay up treasures that last forever. Truth be known, all of us have had and probably still have some treasures on earth. Amen. I remember as a boy wanting a new bicycle. And that's a normal thing, and it's not wrong to want a new bicycle. And I'm from Indiana. I remember getting my first bicycle for Christmas and trying to ride it out on the slick road that day. I didn't really get to use my bicycle until the weather broke. But I was so excited about that bicycle. I'll tell you, that bicycle has been rusted and gone for a long, long time now. And the same thing with my new, my first car that I bought. So proud of that first car. And so excited about that. It was old when I bought it. It's no more, a long time ago, since then. And those things that we treasure, moth and rust, they do corrupt, don't they? They rust away, or they lose their usefulness in our lives and our values. But when we lay up treasures in heaven, they are there forever. They do not go away. And Paul is talking about their lives and their support of his ministry laid up treasures in heaven nearly 2,000 years ago, over 1,900 years ago now. They were laying up treasures in heaven, and those treasures are still of great, great value. When we give to missions, we're having a part in what those missionaries do for the Lord. And I believe a portion of their accomplishments is laid to our account. By this, we are laying up treasures in heaven. And by the way, there are missionaries that this church has supported, that those missionaries were faithful in serving God while you were supporting them. And some of those missionaries are no longer on the field, and some of them are in heaven by now, for sure. But their works are still going on. And the churches they've established, and the churches that they've established that establish other churches and other churches, I think giving to missions is the ultimate pyramid scheme. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? You give to this one person or this one family that's serving the Lord on the field. You give to them, and it just grows and grows and grows and grows. And a lot of those ministries are still growing. Churches are still being established, and people are still being won to Christ. And so it's a huge investment. It's a wonderful investment. It's something you ought to want to have a part in. I wish I could get a hold of something. I'm getting too old now for it to grow very much, but I wish I could have got a hold of something years ago financially that would have grown like my missions giving has grown. But on the other hand, I think that the way that we're provided for today, Juan and I believe some of that's the result of the fact that we were faithful in tithes and missions offerings. Not that we deserve it. That's just the way God is. Given it shall be given unto you. Amen. And God blesses in that way. And so Paul was not selfishly saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for all the money you sent me. He's saying, God bless you. I'm thankful, but God bless you. For the money you've given, you are laying up treasures in heaven. And then he refers to our giving as being like offerings that are a sweet-smelling savor to God. Look in verse 18 of our text there. But I have all in about... No, I'm looking in the wrong place here. Let me see if I can find it. Anyway, he talks about, and I'm probably looking at the right place and can't see it, but he talks about our offerings being... Yeah, it's in 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And he's likening their gifts for his ministry to the Old Testament sacrifices and a sweet-smelling savor to God, and that is still true today. And by the way, acceptable. In other words, there's a lot of things we do, and some of them even with good intentions, but they're not all that big a deal to God. Amen? But this is one that's acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Spiritual sacrifices, treasures that are laid up in heaven. Salvation is a wonderful gift, isn't it? I mean, the greatest gift I've ever received is the gift of everlasting life by faith in Jesus Christ. And once you're saved, you're saved. Thank God for that. And I believe you're secure in Christ, according to the Word of God, once you're saved. And yet, salvation is a gift. It's not a reward. And the treasures we are laying up in heaven, that's the rewards. And you know, there are people who are saved who have very little in the way of rewards waiting them. And then there are other people who are saved who have continually laid up treasures in heaven, not only by missions giving, but by other ways that our lives are right with God. God will give great rewards to those who faithfully serve Him by our personal lives and our personal ministries. And by the way, people that you call ministers are not the only people who are to be involved in ministry. Amen? A minister is a servant. And, you know, in our language, in our culture, we think of so-and-so's in the ministry. But I trust that many of you right here are in the ministry. You're in the ministry of serving God in and through your local church. And you're laying up treasures in heaven by that. And by the way, it doesn't have to be one or the other. I'm going to lay up my treasures by my missions giving or my tithing and so forth. I'm going to lay up treasures that way. I'm not going to major on these other things. You better do them all, because disobedience in these other areas can actually hinder you in these areas as far as the gifts will be laid up in heaven, the treasures. For our lives and ministries, and for the lives and ministries of those we support financially and by our prayers in other places. I like this in verse 17. He said, I desire fruit that may abound. Notice that word abound. Paul's great desire was that he might bear fruit. He wanted souls to be saved. He wanted churches to be started. He wanted workers to be trained, and he was involved in all of that. He wanted Christians to be edified. And by the way, Christians need to be edified. The word edify means built up, strengthened. And I trust that week by week by week, when you come to the house of God, whether you can put your finger on it exactly, and sometimes you can see exactly, boy, in that service, God spoke to my heart and dealt with my life. Or in that day, I was encouraged. I came into God's house and I knew I was supposed to be here, but I wasn't that fired up about it. To be honest, that happens to everybody sometimes. But have you noticed that when you do come and do what you're supposed to do, you're encouraged by being here? You're encouraged by the fellowship. You're encouraged by the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. You're encouraged by the singing. You're encouraged by all of that and built up. He wanted people to be built up. He wanted to be edified. And he wanted backsliders to be restored. And he wanted to abound in fruit bearing. He wanted to do all he could. He wanted to see as many people saved and as many churches established and as many workers trained and as many Christians edified as he could. And by the way, I'm saying that about Paul, not just to praise him, but our missionaries that we support. I'm saying that to your missionaries, the ones that our church back home supports. Our missionaries don't desire to be mediocre. They don't go to the field thinking, well, I guess I'll just be a so-so, get by kind of missionary. Amen? You know, one of your missionaries that you support, we support as well. We support the Lindsays, Marcos and Stephanie Lindsay. And I know there's family relationship there with them. We're family too because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? But we've supported them since they started. We were one of their early supporting churches. We support them the whole time. And I still read his letters and so forth. And many times when I'm reading his letters, I'm thinking, that is a busy, busy missionary. If you read the letters, I mean, he's got the work where he is and works he's traveling to and trips he takes to go to places that would never hear the gospel or to check up on somebody that's far away. He goes and goes and goes and goes because he doesn't want to be mediocre. He doesn't want to just get by. He wants to get all done he can do for the cause of Christ. And you're supporting him. And you're having a part in what he is doing and what he is accomplishing for the Lord. Now let me say this very quickly. With that in mind, we should desire the same for our missionaries and for our own church. Every member of this church should desire that this church would excel in ministry, that we would be fruitful, amen? That we would win souls, that those who get saved would become disciples, mature in Christ and so forth. And we want to have a part in that by our lives. We must, if that's going to happen, and you'll hear this other times during the week in different ways, but if we want that to happen, we must be faithful and diligent in prayer. I'm talking about not just for our missionaries now, I'm talking about for Northwest Baptist Church. Amen. In prayer, in personal witnessing, in passing out tracts, inviting people to church, in giving our tithes and our missions offerings, and our roll up our sleeves and get to work kind of service. Amen. And sometimes we literally roll up our sleeves because it's physical labors, but other times it's out there on outreach day and knocking doors and doing whatever, passing out literature and so forth, and serving. And so Paul wrote to them about fruit that would abound to their account. And I just want to reemphasize today, our giving to missions and praying for missionaries helps the missionaries to bear fruit for the Lord. And the fruit that they bear is added to our account in heaven. So does the fruit that we bear add to our account in heaven. Our rewards in heaven are determined by our account in heaven. Now, I just want to say this in case, and I've said it over and over, but there is a literal, if you're a saved person, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a literal account in heaven with your name on it. And God keeps perfect records. Amen. And you're adding to it. I think you added to it a little bit today just by being here. I think you'll add to it each day that you come to this missions conference with an attentive heart and mind. Not just come and say, well, I came. I did my duty. I'm not talking about that kind of came. Come and be plugged in. Be attentive, let God minister to your heart and so forth. Not only do you get a kind of little check mark in your account for having been here with the right attitude, But if you get something from God while you're here, it helps you to do better and to do more. That also helps add to your account, doesn't it? I don't live my life every day saying, well, I wonder how much I got in my account today. I wonder what I added there today. I don't live that way at all. But I have lived my life for over 54 years now since I got saved with an understanding there is an account and I need to be found faithful. And we can talk about faithful in attendance. We can talk about faithful in giving. We can talk about faithful in serving. Faithful in prayer. Amen. Faithful in Bible reading. And we can just go on down the list. And I know that God honors faithfulness. My pastor taught us that God honors faithfulness. And the Word of God teaches us that. And I believe this as well. The greatest ability is availability to God. It's amazing what God can do with people who have seemingly little or no talent. You follow what I'm saying? Some of us put ourselves there sometimes. Have very little ability, but little is much when God is in it. And by the way, little becomes more when you turn it over to God. I believe that that's true in every area of life. I think whatever your skills are that God, or your talents are that God is able to use and bless, I believe when you get them to God, they become better. He makes you better than you would have been. After all, when you get saved, you're a new creature in Christ. And you have the capacity, by virtue of the fact that you're a new creature in Christ, coupled with the spiritual gifts that God has blessed you with, to hone those things and see those things developed and to see those things mature and see your life being used in the lives of others to help people to come to Christ and walk with Him. And by the way, buildings and properties are important. They're necessary. And thank God for the buildings and properties you have. Thank God for these and a nice place to meet and so forth. These are essential things that we need. But the ministry, by and large, has to do with other people. Let's be faithful about giving not only money, but of ourselves to the lives of other people. To your account, let's be adding to it. And let's let this week be a time that adds some to our accounts in our service to God, in our encouragement to do so. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your word. Pray your blessings have been upon the teaching of thy word. And I pray that things would not only be heard and understood, but I pray that things that are needed in individual lives, that they would lodge in hearts and they would serve to make a difference for the better, for your honor and glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.